what team you both would want to rematch against to beat?
I would want to run it back with that We Believe team versus Utah.
Mine's is clear obvious, the Lakers in 2010, game seven. I mean, gosh, we was up 8, 9, 10 points. God, that one hurt.
Welcome back to What's Burning, the finals. Man, we got a special guest here before we get started. Friend of the family, friend of the program, NBA Hall of Famer, Paul Pierce. We appreciate you, man.
What up, man?
I'm hearing you might be coming part of the Showtime family, so we could be seeing you here more.
Oh, yeah. We got some stuff in the works. Yeah. Stay tuned. Stay
tuned. Absolutely. Well, welcome. But let's get right into it. Milwaukee, Phoenix. Phoenix goes up 2-0. Milwaukee wins the next two at home. Goes in game five after being down double digits to secure a win with some tough defense from Jrue Holiday. Tell me how the momentum has swung in these finals.
Man, I'm telling you, this series might be over, man, truthfully, because Jrue Holiday, think about this. He played terrible in game four. And that was a game Phoenix should have won. Mm-hmm. It's always that one swing game. It was game four. Phoenix should have won that.
Yep.
So now all the momentum is in Milwaukee. And I don't know how Phoenix is going to recover because I can't even see them playing much better. They shot over 50% mm-hmm. from the field, from three. I mean, what can they do better? Yeah. Usually when you see them numbers, Matt, you usually win a game like that. Yep. They was up 16 in game five in the first quarter. It's like now you go to Milwaukee where they've been dominant at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they get back in it, to be all honest.
They're a whole different team at home, and I think is you know that game four loss in Milwaukee was big. Obviously, that turnover down the stretch is what stands out. You know, when CP lost the ball and they go down and get that the bucket by Middleton. But same thing in game five. Jrue Holiday again in there. You know, Devin Booker's hesitant instead of pulling up. He turns and Jrue takes it down. He takes it and then throws a lob to Giannis. It's a 3-point play and. The momentum is gone. I see flashes of this team's – and what I've been impressed with them all playoffs is they haven't showed their age. You know, although CP is their leader, they're a young team. And they, to me, they haven't showed their age. They've showed like they belong or they've done it before. You see in spells now in these final games where it's just a little bit tighter that they're showing their age with shot selections, defensive rotations, and small, careless turnovers that Milwaukee is – eaten on. So Holiday has been up and down, but you also got to say like his defense has been so pivotal on CP. I think he's starting to wear CP down, and then last game obviously Holiday was on fire with the scoring. I think when they have those three guys over 20, they're hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean when you look at both of them, they're so-called big threes. Booker is kind of like high end taking Giannis. They're even in numbers. Yeah, you know, they're both high 30s, 40s. Yeah. Then you look at Middleton. He's up and down. CP is not taking advantage of that matchup. You know, CP's supposed to dominate one of these matchups, but then Middleton, he goes for 38. Then he has another good game. He's been clutch for them. Mm-hmm. And then Ayton, the X factor, he's got to be the X factor. Yeah. And Jrue Holiday's the X factor. And we've seen their two X factors take advantage of this series because in every series, you got to have that X factor. And Drew's been the X factor.
Because you know what you're going to get from the stars. The X factors, especially in the finals, are kind of the wild card. How are they going to play? And that kind of dictates how it goes.
Yeah. And so when you look at it from top to bottom, from their top three to Milwaukee's top three in Phoenix, they're just getting outplayed. Mm-hmm. You know, Giannis has been consistent. Booker's been consistent. Middleton's been great down the stretch. And I think that's what it comes down to. And then you got to have that. See, Phoenix never took advantage of when they role players play great. You know, when Crowder have a game where he getting you 15, 18 points, you know, you got to win them games. Yes. When you have 16 at home, that's a swing game. Yes. And it's tough to come back from that.
So they're obviously, we both know, the world knows Milwaukee is a much tougher team and a different team mindset-wise at home. It's going to be a tough job to go in there and do it. But I think, like I said, Phoenix can because it's coming down to the wire. It's not like they're getting blown out. It's been one play here, one play there. Mm-hmm. So if they can go in there and have that mindset of, you know, we got to get this back to Phoenix, it could happen. But I think we all know it's going to be really tough, man.
But one more thing. When you got the best player in the series on Milwaukee at home, You gotta like their chances.
Yeah,
you gotta like their chances.
Milwaukee has to have the mindset we're celebrating after you know Tuesday night.
Hey, Milwaukee known for their beer. They better have a lot of beer ready. They gotta have it ready this Tuesday.
So this Tuesday, tomorrow night will be game six in Milwaukee. We talked a little bit about, you know, who's doing what. Booker's at 30 points a game, 47% from the field. CP's at 21, nearly 9 assists, 54% from the field. Aiden, 15 and 13. And then you jump across, Giannis at 32, 13 and nearly 6, 60% from the field. Free throw percentage nearly up to 60. And one thing we forgot, though, is I got to admit, when I saw Giannis hyperextend his knee in the Eastern Conference Finals, I thought he was done.
Man, I thought his season was over.
Right, and he thought that too.
I thought his season was over.
And to think that he can, you know, rally that up and possibly come back and win his first championship and probably win the – if they win, he's Finals MVP.
Oh, yeah, so without a doubt.
That's a hell of a story, and I'm happy for him because this has always been the question about Giannis. Can he do it on the biggest stage in the biggest game? He's been great during the regular season, and he's taken a lot of heat for not getting his team – where they need to be. Now, you could say what you want about teams were hurt, but that a lot of luck goes into teams winning championships.
Absolutely.
You lost one of your big players going into LA for your guys' second championship. You know, this has been a great run. Obviously, Middleton at nearly 26-7-6. Man, he's been killing. Then Holiday's picked his game up at 16.5, 9 assists, and nearly 6 rebounds a game, and nearly 2 steals and playing 40 minutes a game. So Drew Holiday, to me, has been the ultimate X factor. It hasn't always been from the scoring side. It's been from the scoring side of late, but the defensive side, I think he's really starting to wear CP down, picking up CP full court, and really making him work every time down the court, and that obviously favors Milwaukee.
Yeah, but when you look at Drew Holiday's game, there's nothing sexy about his game.
Mm-mm.
He's just a hard hat player, and I believe the reason – that he hasn't been that effective on offense. If you just look at his playoff run, he's had the matchup with Hart, Trey Young. Then he come in this series, he got Booker, Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. That can take a lot away from you because I remember in 2010, I matched up with LeBron for the second time in the series, and I put so much energy on defense. People don't even know I averaged like 14 points for that series. Mm. But I expended so much energy on just trying to slow him down. That takes a lot away from your offense, especially when you put that much effort in the defensive end. And that's the reason Holiday been up and down offensively.
And I agree because, I mean, I've seen that firsthand. You know, that's the kind of the Klay Thompson effect with Golden State. You know, when he's always had the tough matchups and he would have off shooting nights or his points aren't as high, he's literally taking the best player on the other end every night. And that shit, like you said, it's a mindset. But then that also just mentally and physically is draining.
It wears you down.
What does Phoenix have to do to get this back to Phoenix for Game 7, in your opinion?
Man,
I'm
not even sure because when I'm saying you got to go into a hostile environment, you need some goons.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they got the goons, you know, to get it done. I mean, yes, CP is great, and I love, you know, his mental because I feel like CP is a guy who's never shaken. So I think his leadership got to come into play right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got to look at everybody in the eye and be like, look, it's one game we got to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really got to come from here. He got to stand up, look everybody in the eye and like, look, one game. Y'all telling me we can't beat this guys one time on the road? We've been good all year long. We've been one of the best teams in the league. We can get us one game. It's gut-checking time.
Man,
it's gut-checking time. This
for
is
real.
It.
For
I mean,
real.
He got to look, and they got to come with it. We know, I think Booker's going to come with it. He found a rhythm.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Like
so
I said,
it's going to be a dogfight. And, but I know Milwaukee smell championship. They're going to have the trophy. That's one thing. When you at home, because I was there, I knew the trophy was in the building somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the building. I'm like, ain't no way this trophy leaving the building tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a tough one, but I don't know what Phoenix can do.
Talk to me about, I mean, you've had experience in these situations. You know, you've been up 3-2 with the chance to close at home, 3-2 versus LA to close out, and then 3-2 and lost in game 7 with the Lakers in 10. But talk to us about both sides of that coin.
I mean, you feel a lot more comfortable when you're up 3-2 at home. That's just, I mean, I'm sitting at my couch, it's like you being at home, putting up my feet, got my food ready, I know where the bathroom is, I ain't got to ask. But when you go on the road, you're like, where is this? It's tough. That was one of the toughest going on the road. We up 3-2, you just feel like, man, 2 games in LA, we got to get one. Then Pert go down, it just took the air out of us. It's tough to win on the road, man. That's why I always tell people, it's hard to win a championship.
Man.
I mean, you've been a part of it. You see, it's hard to win a championship, man. I don't care. You know, you got some guys that did it two or three times, four or five times. Just Incredible. To win one is right. tough.
Incredible. And that game seven you were talking about off camera before we started, what was that energy like in Staples Center for that 2010
man,
championship?
Man, it was surreal, man. I just remember we were up most of the game, fourth quarter, everybody standing up. It was just surreal, dude. It didn't feel real. I really can't even explain it because every shot you took, it was just like something was on the line. It was like one of them. I felt like it's like almost like one of them shots you take at half court of NBA game where you can go win a $10,000 yeah. if you miss. You just feel so down.
And that's every shot.
So that's every shot yeah. you take in the finals of the fourth quarter. You just felt so down every shot you miss. Mm. And then every shot you hit was so big. And it was just like, man, I still ain't watched that game till today, man.
That's crazy.
That's tough. I should be sitting on two chips. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Hell yeah. Next up, we have On the Radar presented to you by DraftKings. Dame Lillard is in the discussions of late. You know, he wants to see some activity from that Portland front office. He's put a lot of time in and they haven't really got over that hump. You were in a similar position in the early 2000s where, you know, guys were trying to get you to leave Boston. You stayed down and, you know, ended up picking up Ray Allen and KG and making your guys' run. Do you think Dame will ask out of this situation, or is he going to, you know, give Chauncey a chance and kind of see what they can do over there? Because like I said, you've been in a situation like this.
Yeah, I think my circumstance was a little different because when I look around the league, what Dame needs is not out there. And what I mean by that, there's no other superstar that you can say is disgruntled that you can bring over to Dame to say, all right, if we add this piece, this has put us in championship contention. And so I think the best thing for Dame, I think he needs to get out of there.
Mm.
I really do. I really think he don't have to be loud about it. You know, Dame has always been one of the most loyal guys.
Right.
So more, it's more, his situation, unlike mine, is more like KG's.
Mm.
Because KG was doing all he could for Minnesota,
right.
and it just got to the point he couldn't do no more. And it was like, you know, it was time for him to go. I think Dame's time is up there, and, you know, they done squeezed all the lemon juice out of him. He can't make no more lemonade, man. I mean, he been making too much lemonade for years. He got to move on.
So if he does end up moving in whatever fashion that may happen, where do you see a good landing spot or a good fit for him? Who are maybe two or three teams? Obviously, any team he goes to is going to help, but anyone off the top that comes to mind that could be like, damn.
Yeah, well, there's two teams off the top that if you land Dame Lillard, you put yourself in championship contention, which is, I mean, there's a lot of teams, but I'm saying best fit. I think the 76ers, because I believe they got the pieces. They can make a trade, you know, maybe Ben Simmons, who knows? It's mm-hmm. a lot of things rumbling over there, who knows? Mm-hmm. And Miami. The Miami Heat. I think they got a lot of young pieces. If you don't get rid of Jimmy Butler and you can find a way to keep Bam, try to finagle some of them other little pieces, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and you can bring Dame in there, I think those two are realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really look into that if I'm all of those GMs.
Something, I don't know if it's been unofficial or official, if it's actually real talk, but I've heard Golden State trying to trade their two picks and maybe one of their young players for Dame to join Clay, Ooh. Draymond, and Steph back at the crib.
I mean, dude. Oof. You know what? Greatness always figure it out. I don't care how much of it you
right.
got around each
That's
other.
A good problem
and
to
people,
have.
Yeah, just like, you know, if Harden, KD, and Kyrie would have been healthy,
oh, yeah.
they probably would have won.
No question.
And so, like, if they come together and you know, the casuals are going to be like, it's too repetitive. Mm. Dame, you know, he play like Steph and Clay, it won't work. It's too many. Nah.
I love to try to figure that shit out.
Greatness always going to figure right. it out.
Right.
If they're healthy, they'll figure out a way to make that work, and they will be the favorites in my eyes if that happens.
And you think him going back to the town, too.
And being home? Wow.
This Thursday, July 22nd, catch our next All the Smoke episode of our man Emmanuel Acho himself. Enjoy this teaser. Sha'Carri Richardson banned for smoking marijuana on the days after her mom had passed. And I saw what you said. You made a comment on something. I don't remember what it was. And I said, come on, bro, you're better than that.
Yep.
and you had made a comment, and I think you were taking a lot of heat. That forced you to kind of go back and do some homework and your research on the situation.
Man, let's go there, fellas. Literally came here for this
welcome
topic.
Welcome to All the Smoke.
It's just a pleasure to be here. All right. First and foremost, let me preface with this. I was at Olympic Trials. Let me preface with this. Track is actually my first love. Oh. I love track because track is quantifiable. It's like why I love math. 2 + 2 will always be 4. I don't care if Stack feels like it's 5.
Right.
Or if Matt feels like it's 6. 2 + 2 is 4.
Point blank.
Point blank. We watched the NBA Finals. How much was Giannis helping? How much was Middleton helping? How much was Chris Paul helping? Track is simple. I ran faster than you.
Point blank.
Point blank. We ain't got to debate nothing.
Right.
So let me preface with this, my first love. Let me preface with I was at the Olympic Trials. Let me preface with I keep up with not only what goes on in American track circuit, but the entire track circuit. Jamaicans, Nigerians, everything. Because I love track. Also, preface with condolences to Sha'Carri.
Right. First
let's not overstep. Let's not first overlook. This is a woman who lost her biological mother. Let's not slip over that for the sake of debate, number one. So my comment after she tested positive for marijuana, and so many people was jumping out saying they should legalize, it should be legalized, it should be legalized, it should be legalized. I'm like, okay, here's the kicker. It's only illegal in competition. You can smoke all the weed you want as a professional track athlete. You just can't do it in competition. A rule exists. A rule exists, whether it's fair or not, you broke the rule.
Right.
You should be punished accordingly. I grew up in Texas. I drive through the back roads in Texas. If there is a red light and I see the red light camera and I choose to run the red light and I see it flash, I got to pay the ticket.
You're going
to
get that ticket in the mail.
I seen the red light and I ran the joint. Now, I can debate why was the red light there. We can debate that till we want all day. But the fact of the matter is the red light was there. Last thing I'm going to say on this matter is this. And again, I was there. The fastest man in the world, not in America, Noah Lyles threw 200 meters. The fastest man in the world, reigning world champion. He said that USA Olympic trials make the world championships feel like nothing. Mm. Just saying Olympic trials are more difficult than world champions. I was in a warm-up area with Noah before he had to run. Nervous as all could be. He was watching my phone. He was had my phone in his hand drop. Nervous as all could be. The fastest woman ever through 200 meters, second to FloJo, Gabby Thomas. She trains in Austin. I know her well. Graduated from Harvard. Fastest woman ever. She had to take off her Whoop watch the week before the 200 meters because she didn't want to see how bad her CNS was because she was so anxious. So everybody was anxious there. With that being said, everybody had to deal with their anxiety differently. Mm-hmm. So there was a rule in place. No weed doesn't make you faster. It don't make you stronger. It doesn't make you have more quick twitch muscles. No. But the fact of the matter is, it was a rule.
Right.
She broke the rule. And the last thing is, remember, this isn't the NBA. This isn't the NFL. This is not the MLB. This is global stages. In China, if you smoke, in Japan, if you smoke weed, punishable by 5 to 10 years in prison. So the tests in Japan have to match the tests in America because they compete against each other. Unlike America, we can just do rules for America. But the rules got to compete against each other. So you can't make something legal for one country that's illegal in another country because the country's got to compete.
Right.
And so this is a nuanced conversation that has to be had with nuanced right. individuals. You right. can't just fire off 180 characters to make sense of it all. Mm-hmm. But that's my stance. Racism is why marijuana was ever made illegal in the first place. Marijuana should not be illegal. Sha'Carri did break a rule. Sha'Carri should be punished accordingly for the rule she broke. All of those things can be true.
Next up, one of our favorite segments, we have fan questions. So let's get started with this. Step up and get clowned. What is the U.S. basketball team missing in order to be successful, in your opinion?
The U.S. basketball team is never missing nothing. Come on, we head and shoulders the best in the world. I don't care who we put out there. We just need time.
That's it.
We just need time together. I don't care who we put out there. We're head and shoulders better than everybody in the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be in the NBA, and we're sending 12, 14 NBA guys over there. And most of these teams maybe got one NBA player, mm-hmm. maybe two. Mm-hmm. We don't need nothing. Just time together for them to get their chemistry. But this should be USA gold every time, hands down.
I agree. The one thing I will say is, though, obviously I think the world has not caught up but has gotten better.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world has definitely gotten better from a standpoint of we just been used to be able to just throw whoever out there, and it was just, okay, we're that much better. We're going to be fine. Now mm-hmm. that chemistry is starting to weigh in because I think there is more NBA players from around the world. So, and the mm-hmm. way I was having a conversation with my homeboy, and I think that people don't understand is we have 12 guys on the team, probably 10 of those guys are the man on their team, the go-to man that takes shots. All these other teams, even if they have any player, they're role players, so they know how to play in a system. They know what they have to do, the cuts, the passes, the screens, the shit they have to do. We just have to get used to playing with so many stars that are used to not playing together, but also being the man on their team. So that just takes time and that chemistry to get that ball. Because once you saw it last game against Spain, once that ball starts moving around, there's nothing you could do with us.
No. Nothing. Only adjustment U.S. got to be ready for is – international whistle is different from the NBA whistle, because them fouls used to get, you know, them LeBron calls, Tatum calls, you know, they're not getting those over there. So once they get used to that, I think they'll be fine.
What was your Olympic experience like?
Oh, man. I didn't play Olympics, but I played World Games.
World Games, that's what it was.
And it was tragic. 2002. We were the first team.
Who was on that team?
We had Baron Davis, Andre Miller. I remember Jermaine O'Neal, Elton Brand, Reggie Miller, The Matrix, Sean Marion, Ben Wallace. We just didn't get it done. But this is where we ran into a guy. First time I ran into a guy named Manu Ginobili. Mm. This is the first time, you know, he wasn't in the league yet. And they was like, this kid. So I was like, what? Whatever, I got him. Man, he put it on us. He put it on.
That young man was a monster too,
man,
boy.
He was a monster.
You do everything to keep him off that left, he'll still get to his left, and he used to dunk that bitch in the lane on you too.
Yeah, so my USA experience was all bad, and I think the reason after 2000, and this was in 2000, I believe, 3 and 4 around there, they changed the whole USA program to where now how they started bringing guys early out for camp, because we just showed up, got together, practiced for a couple of days and played. Mm-hmm. Now it's a whole program after that tragic event. they changed the whole USA program, and that's why we back on top. This is It's Just Me. What team you both would want to rematch against to beat? We both would want to rematch against
the
beat?
I think probably in our careers. I would want to run it back with that We Believe team versus Utah. I think we were on a crazy high that year.
Man, I remember that.
And was up in Utah both games. The whistles got crazy. And they ended up battling San Antonio in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or excuse me, Western Conference Finals. So, to me, that would probably be a one. Let's run it back, because I thought we should have beat them.
Yeah, I mean, mine's is clear, obvious. The Lakers in 2010, game 7. I mean, gosh, we was up 8, 9, 10 points. God, that one hurt. That one still sting.
To you, is that your biggest?
That's just, your biggest
crush, your heart.
That's my biggest crush, man, right there. And then, but like a couple of them. People don't like when we say you have to be good and lucky, people forget in 2009, we came back and started the season like 29-3, and KG gets hurt. And we probably would go back to back because we was crushing teams. And then we get healthy the next year, and then we lose Perk. I mean, you got to be good and lucky, man. Injuries are a factor. So all you people out here saying that Phoenix wouldn't be there or Milwaukee wouldn't be there, injuries are a factor. It is a part of the game. It happens every year. Mm-hmm. Toronto won. KD went down. Oh, well, it's part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You can't definitely take nothing away from these teams. Unk 1E, PH 1. Is that the fuck that says? After partially tearing his ACL with his injury history, will Kawhi be the next star to have his career altered by injury? Ooh, tough question.
I mean, how much altering can you do with Kawhi's career? Look at his career. You know, it's not the same as when I look at, like, Penny Hardaway.
Or Grant Hill.
Or Tracy McGrady. You know, Kawhi has won a couple championships. He's been on great teams already. I don't think it alters his career. Would he win more? Who knows? But his career is set in stone, pretty much. His legacy is there. Yeah. And so, I said, altering it, I don't think so, because Kawhi could retire today, and he's going down one of the greatest.
So. I would agree. Now, this might alter his longevity, I think, just because there's always been whispers there's something going on in his hip. Now he has this minor ACL tear, already had the surgery recovering. We wish him the best. But this could probably prolong the length of time he plays. But I think, like Paul said, I mean, 2 championships, 2 finals MVPs.
Yeah.
His career is pretty much straight.
Yeah. All right. We got a question from SJC4401. Matt, where would you rank Giannis currently if he wins a ring this year?
I really, to be honest with you, when we're talking about greats and we'll just go top 25 greats, I don't think he's cracked that list yet. I think he's got a great start. Still young, two-time MVP.
But, like, what about amongst the league
current
now?
Current players right now?
Current, like who's the best player in the league if he wins a ring this year?
I think we got to – I think you got to put him in the top five. I think you got to put him in the top five, and that's saying a lot because there's a lot of motherfuckers in this
league.
So
not
right
number
now.
One player in the league?
I don't think so.
Man.
I don't think so. Do you got him? You got him at number one? Where you got him? Because I'm still like, and I'm if I'm thinking number one, I'm still taking KD over Giannis. I don't know, and this is with all due respect, I don't know if going into year 19, I could take Bron over Giannis.
Well, this is my thing about this. We won in 08, right? So I go to Spain to do a basketball camp. And they was like, hey, I did an interview. And they was like, hey, you just beat the best player in the world. And I was like, huh? I was like, currently, I'm the best player in the world.
Because I
won.
So I see how you can look at it that way.
And so, like, I think Giannis, if he wins a chip, he's the king. Mm-hmm. He's the best player in the world. I mean, look at the numbers he's putting up, dude.
Incredible numbers.
I mean, he's 60. Who shoots 60% from the field average in 30?
Him and Shaq. That's
His
it.
Impact is undeniable. Yeah, he's not that player, but neither was Shaq. You know, everybody asking Giannis to do all this. He's not a closer. That's why they need Middleton and Drew Holiday to do that. But everything else in between, he taking care
numbers
of.
Numbers are crazy.
You know, there's other guys who we got in front of them, they closers. Okay, KD, Bron. You know, these guys, you know, they closers. They do it all. But this dude, he the best right now. He coming off two MVPs, and then he win it?
I'm not mad at that.
I mean, it's got to be. He got to feel he's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, I'm not even going to lie, you made a better argument than me, so I'm good with that. Now we're up with quick hitters. We touched on this early in the show. The U.S. team defeats Spain. They're off to Tokyo. First game, I think, is versus France. One thing I did like, and this was kind of controversial, because they added Keldon Johnson was a young player off San Antonio who got a lot of respect in the process leading up to being able to join the big team. And then they grabbed JaVale McGee, and it was a lot of controversy saying that possibly other guys deserved it or earned it more. What was your thought on those filling those two pieces, two spots with role players instead of bona fide stars?
This is the one thing I think people got to get, because it's easy for me to say, you know, why you didn't add a Trae Young or well, Donovan Mitchell's not on the squad, is he? Mm-mm. No, Donovan Mitchell. But you got to understand, sometimes these guys turn down. And people don't know that like, they might have asked these guys, Trae, do you want to play? Or it's about availability. You know, some guys turn it down. And so it's not about, oh, why they didn't pick them up. Like, I turned down Team USA. You know, it's times it was like, why they didn't put Pierce? Because I didn't want to play that summer. I had other things to do. But there's no excuses. These guys are more than enough. They added some role players. They got their stars. KD, think about this. You can add two of them guys on the NBA team, on the USA team, and they'll be contenders in the NBA. Right. So they got more than enough.
Yeah.
And so there's, regardless, maybe it'll help with their chemistry. It'll help them with defense. Then when the finals is over, they add Booker, Middleton, and Drew, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I like the – obviously, there are people who are more solidified and have maybe put more work in than these guys. But at the end of the day, I think role players is needed, because as we touched on earlier, we got so many ball-dominant stars that are used to being the man on their team. It's good because, you know, Keldon Johnson came in and fucked the whole energy up for Spain with his hustle, his rebounding, his cutting.
Yeah, he did.
His sprinting his ass back on defense. And, you know, we've all seen with JaVale. JaVale, to me, has been unsung. He's got, what, two or three championships, always a key piece on championship teams.
He played the interior plays defense. Hard. They need that interior
plays
defense.
Plays hard. He rebounds. He alters shots. So with these, adding these two role players, yes, like
but
you said.
But think about this. Think about it. Could you imagine – a couple years ago before Golden State, JaVale McGee on the USA team.
Absolutely not. They would have been going
crazy.
That's
a testament to him, though. Shout out JaVale, man. Your hard work over the last few years.
Absolutely, man. He's always been a key piece on championship teams, man. So he's getting rewarded. And then, like you said, you know, Book, Middleton, and Holiday will come after the finals. So obviously, we're still odds on favor. I don't see anyone really being a problem. It may not be dream team number blowouts, but it's going to be, you know, USA will definitely do their thing. Up next, Wes Unseld Jr., named the head coach of the Washington Wizards. I think we want to say we have 7 new black head coaches in the league, which will run the total to 13. I think it's a beautiful thing. What's your thought on this?
I think it's a long time coming because I think with this new generation, you got a lot of these guys as former players and they can relate.
That's the key word. I think to now, coaching is more about relatability to than actually X's and O's.
Yeah, because you can get some X's and O's, but you need a guy who they can relate to, who they going to respect. J-Kid, Chauncey, when I look around these guys, Ume, they respected in the NBA mm-hmm. circles. Ty Lue's, we already know, mm-hmm. they respect it. And, you know, I respected Doc because he know what we go through on a day-to-day mm-hmm. grind. Mm-hmm. He's somebody I feel like, man – you know, away from basketball, I could really have a real conversation with him. It ain't always got to be basketball talk.
Right.
You know, he can understand, like, if something I'm going through off the court is affecting me on the court, I feel like I'm comfortable and having that conversation. Yep. And see, people don't see that part mm-hmm. of it. You know, and that's what I love when you get these young black coaches who've been there, who understand the new generation, who've been around them, because it's more than just hoop sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I didn't have to have conversations with Doc, not even about hoop, just somebody who I could just holler at.
That's important.
And then it got my mind back right. Now mm-hmm. I can hoop.
Yeah. What I think is dope, too, is 6 out of the 7 coaches were assistants. And when it comes to this situation, normally the black assistants are the cool assistant coaches. They'll have to go wrangle us up. Go talk mm-hmm. to Paul or go talk to Matt. Or he's tripping and this,
right,
this, and that.
Right.
So for these guys to finally, you know, not have to be them dudes no more, I actually get to sit in that front seat, man. Right. I love it. Shout out to my man, Willie Green, who got the job over in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. You know, hopefully you guys do what you do in the finals. But congratulations on the new job in New Orleans, man. So love to see it. Let's also talk about your team, who's got a new head coach, Ime Udoka, but then also picked up Damon Stoudemire as an assistant. Talk about Ime's job and what being a part of this Celtics franchise looks like and them building around Brown and Tatum.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Brad Stevens, he already laid the foundation, and I think his time was up as far as coaching. And now I love the fact that you bring in these two former players who understand the game. They both are guards, you know, and this team is guard heavy, mm-hmm. Tatum and Brown, and guys that they're going to respect. You know, Damon Stoudemire definitely made a name for himself in this mm-hmm. league. I mean, we all know that.
Mighty Mouse.
And you know, sometimes it's about having a new voice, but the right voice.
It's key.
You know, but the right voice, and that can take a team to the next level. You know, still as far as being a contender, they need some few more pieces.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What do you feel like they're missing? I like the Moses Brown pickup from – he's raw from Oklahoma City, former mm-hmm. UCLA kid to put up a couple 2020 nights. It's going to, you know, push the young Williams kid to work harder. What do you feel like they're missing?
I think they need a young athletic big. You know, just when you look across the board at the contenders, they got the guards. The wings is fine. You know, Brown and Tatum can handle. But I think they need a young athletic big who's capable on any given night, giving you a 20-10 night. Now, they may have one already there, my young boy over there. But I just think you need somebody consistent in that spot, a borderline all-star. If they want to take the leap, you know, like how Milwaukee went on and got Drew Holiday, who's a borderline all-star mm-hmm. to go with the other two all-stars. Mm-hmm. In this league today, you need 3 all-stars or 2 and a borderline one to win it all or to be a contender. And that's all they're missing. But they're young.
Yeah.
They can keep building on what they got for a long time because these guys is about to sign some long-term deals. In the next year or two, they're going to be there, I believe. You know, they signed once, but they'll sign again.
I think they need a playmaking point guard and a point guard that can hit big shots, like a Malcolm Brogdon. Like, to me,
I think Matt, look, they had Kyrie.
No, but they Isaiah. But those are score first guards. Brogdon can make plays, plays defense, and hits big shots. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands and be the go to. You know what I mean? He feels a great role to me. And to me, although Marcus Smart is kind of the heart and soul of that team, the reason why I think he's expendable is because Tatum and Brown both play defense. Normally, you don't get young stars that play both ways. Both these dudes try to lock up on defense, too. So to me, if you can get a playmaking point guard that can knock down big shots and guard his position, to me, I think that's what they need, because I think they do. I agree, young athletic bigs, but again, I think with Horford kind of being the OG mentoring these young kids, with the Williams kid and the Brown kid from UCLA over there, I think there's gonna have some good mentorship. So it'll be interesting to see.
I still think the East is wide open now. If Milwaukee win this year, I still feel like there's teams that's right there one piece away.
I mean, Brooklyn doesn't have to add shit. They just gotta be healthy.
Brooklyn gotta be healthy. That's it. So I think the end of the era of dynasties is over.
I agree. Because I think there's more movement now. Although the last team that could possibly be a dynasty, in my opinion, is if they can stay together, is Brooklyn. They can make a dynasty run, I think. I think they can win. What is that considered a dynasty? Back to back? Three out of four?
Back to back, you a dynasty.
You know what I mean? So I would think that team has a chance. And if Dame drops to the Bay, look out. Well, man, it's been a hell of a season. A lot of ups and downs. Shortened off season. The season's going to be even shorter after this break. Also, the Olympics, and they're starting on time next year. I think as fans and first certainly as players, we have to watch how these guys get their rest. I think in the playoffs this year, like you said, it always happens, but it happened at an alarming rate this year to guys getting hurt, especially key players getting hurt. And I just think that kind of stems down to these motherfuckers been playing a lot of basketball of late, and it doesn't seem like there's any time to slow down soon. So hopefully these guys can find some rest and we can get a healthy season next year, man. So appreciate you, man, for your time. Like I said, we'll be seeing you around here more. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of What's Burning. You can catch this every week on Showtime Basketball in the iHeart platform, Black Effects, and Show Basketball on Twitter. See y'all next week.